Did you happen to notice, among all the other things that are mentioned in our sermon text for this evening, how the Lord referred to you? It was right there in the first verse. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." He called all of us children, children of Jacob. I know at least some of you are thinking, wow, to be a child again. No cares, no worries. Somebody looking after me, feeding me, clothing me. Life was good as a child. Or maybe your childhood memories aren't all that great. Maybe you were abused as a child, or you didn't have enough to eat. Maybe other kids picked on you, made your life miserable. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I definitely don't want to go through that again. A few weeks ago, we talked about children and how 26% of the victims of human trafficking are children, many of whom were born right here in the United States. The farthest thing from their minds is how great it is to be a child. In some ways, being a child in biblical times wasn't all that much different. For the Israelites, children were considered a gracious gift from God. Having many children was considered a divine blessing. I think most Christians today view children in the same way. But in other ways, society back then was very different. Children, and wives for that matter, were viewed as property. Children weren't viewed the same way as they are today. They didn't have rights. At times they were treated very harshly, as evidenced in the apocryphal book Sirach, which is included in the Roman Catholic Bible. Just remember, and this part is very important, that we do not view apocryphal books as God's word. They're more like a historical narrative, a history book, if you will. But even though they're not God's inspired word, they do give us some insight into what it was like to live during that time. This particular section in the book, Sirach, has the heading, Concerning Children. Listen to what they wrote. "Pamper a child and he will terrorize you. Play with him and he will grieve you. Do not laugh with him or you will have sorrow with him. And in the end, you will gnash your teeth. Give him no freedom in his youth, and do not ignore his errors. Bow down his back, his neck in his youth, and beat his sides while he is young, or else he will become stubborn and disobey you, and you will have a sorrow of soul from him. Discipline your son and make his yoke heavy, so that you may not be offended by his shamelessness." This passage could just as easily be talking about a donkey than about children. It has a very different tone to it than the one that I think of that comes from Proverbs that talks about raising children. From Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." As I mentioned before, children were viewed more like property than people. This is why the disciples were indignant when little children were being brought to Jesus. You probably remember this passage from Matthew 19. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." In the disciples' mind, Jesus shouldn't be wasting his time on these lowly children. But Jesus says otherwise. He puts his hands on them and he blesses them. Jesus takes the world's upside-down way of viewing children and turns it right side up again. Jesus goes even further and says that we are to receive the kingdom of heaven as a child. "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." From Matthew 18. Jesus is teaching this same truth found throughout Scripture. we ever remain children. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people were regularly called the children of Israel or the children of Jacob. In the New Testament, we are named as the children of God. We ever remain children because we ever remain dependent upon God. There is much that children, and that includes us, need. We need provision of food and clothing, house and home, all that we need to support this body and life. Do you remember the first article of the Creed and its explanation found in the Small Catechism? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. In this confession, we bear witness to the fatherly care of God because he gives us all his created gifts. Jesus also teaches us to pray as our Father, so that with all boldness and confidence, we might call upon him as dear children call upon their own dear fathers. Therefore, we ask much of him, including that he would supply us with our daily bread. The Father delights for us to be his children so that he might provide for all our needs. Among the needs that every child has are safety and stability, which are provided through rules. Now, children may complain about this, but in the end, every child wants to have rules. It provides safety and comfort for them because they know that there are boundaries. They can go this far and all will be fine and safe. The need for God's laws or his rules to regulate our behavior is inherent in us being his children. Yet we all know children have a way of running away from the rules that they crave. You see it happen in home, in the school, in society, and it happens among us, the children of God. Go back to verse 7 of our text. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? We are just like our fathers of old who rebelled against God. But for his children, God's laws are not a burden, but a blessing. The Lord sets forth right and wrong for our benefit. His rules are not whimsical. They are all grounded upon what is good for us. His rules reflect his created order, an order that is all about life for us. But we respond just like a child. Rules are made to be broken. All these rules are such a downer. So we ignore the Lord's statutes and we do our own thing. The prophet Malachi delivers a specific word about how we rebel against God. Malachi proclaims this word of the Lord. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. From verse 8. On the surface, it kind of seems ridiculous. Man robbing God? You must outwit or overpower someone to rob them. We can't overpower God, and we certainly will not outwit him. So how in the world could we ever rob him? The Lord puts an exclamation mark on the impossibility of robbing God when he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts, from verse 11. That means that the Lord controls both the field that produces all of our goods and the devourer that would destroy them. The only reason that we have what is ours, and the only reason is not ravaged by disaster, is because the Lord Himself provides it and then shelters it. Yet we ignore that. In pride, we celebrate what we've earned, unwilling to acknowledge reality, namely that the Lord provides and protects all that we have. That is precisely how we rob God. When our lives and our words do not acknowledge His provision and protection, we rob Him of the glory that's due His name. We pretend as if He had nothing to do with the goodness that overflows in our lives. But when grateful hearts acknowledge that all we have is a gift from God, then we respond accordingly. An appropriate response to God's goodness is our personal contributions. Withholding our time, talents, and treasures from the Lord communicates ingratitude. So the Lord brings us back to Malachi verse 8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. What prompts us to withhold our tithes? What convinces us that we should minimize our personal contributions? The lack of gratitude, something we see and experience in the world every day. And it's something that we practice, even though we don't think that we really do. I admit I'm guilty of it. I'm not as grateful as I should be. When we are ungrateful, we withhold our time, talents, and treasures because we are convinced that we've done enough or that we can't afford to give. We look at what we have and we see a little that must be hoarded rather than seeing the truth. So we minimize our giving, whether it be volunteering to help with worship, signing up on that list to serve, or signing that check. We tell ourselves that the church has gotten far more from us than its fair share already. But it's really not about what the church has received or not received. It's about what we have received from the Lord that drives our contribution. We have received an abundance supplied by our Father, for which we cannot help but to give thanks, knowing that we have more than enough so that we can give to others. In gratitude for the wealth given us by God, whether it be time, talent, or treasure, our contributions flow. Ponder again, or maybe for the first time, what the Almighty has provided for you. His provision is more than sufficient for this life. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that the Father causes rain to fall both on the righteous and the unrighteous. That is the provision that comes from the hand of a gracious God. Whether we are righteous and give thanks, or if we're sinful and ignore the giver of all good gifts, He still gives, because that's the kind of God that He is. He is our Father. He not only provides us for what we need, and even more, but He also protects what we have. His provision is more than enough for this life and the life to come as well. Both the righteous and the sinful enjoy the good gifts that God gives us in this life. But that wasn't enough for the Father. He wants all of us to enjoy His goodness for all of eternity. So the Father sent His only begotten Son into the flesh. The Son enjoyed His Father's goodness in this life, and then it was ripped from Him. He was stripped of family and friends, house and home, food and drink. He was even stripped of His clothes. And then life itself was taken from Him. All so that we might enjoy the goodness of God into eternity. So that we might live in confidence that Christ has won the goodness of His Father in all fullness for all eternity. He rose from the dead. In His resurrection, we see the goodness of the Father that awaits us. We have reason for gratitude. Being a child of the Father is a very good thing. And everybody else sees how great it is to be His child. from verse 12. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Sometimes when a child lives in the bounty of his or her father's home, that child can become blind to just how good they have it because they take what they have for granted. When overflowing blessing is the norm, we can lose sight of just how good we have it. Take a look at just how good you have it. Others can see it. They see the Lord's provision, and they see that it doesn't change. This is the immutability of God. He is who he is, and he does not change. Back to Malachi verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. This Lenten season, think about what the Lord tells us through the prophet Malachi. We are a child of the Father whose goodness does not fade. His goodness is ours right now. And we will overflow with his goodness and throughout eternity because of his Son, Jesus Christ. That will never change. Be grateful. Give of yourself generously. And return to the Lord, for we are blessed to be a child of the one who does not change. Amen.